Welcome to the Tell Us Something podcast. I'm Mark Moss, your host. Tell Us Something seeks to celebrate the craft of live storytelling. The Missoula community comes together for a night of shared stories, told live, focused on a theme. Tell Us Something is a quarterly event. Everyone has a story. What's yours? This quarter's Tell Us Something was recorded on October 9th, 2014 at the Top Hat Lounge in Missoula, Montana. This edition of Tell Us Something was the premier event at Humanity Montana's Festival of the Book and was part of the Missoula Public Library's The Big Read. 11 storytellers shared their story based upon the theme, The Things We Carry. This week's story comes to us from Jim Ambrose and is titled The Tempest. Thank you for listening.
So, I worked as a bicycle messenger in San Francisco from 1999 to 2001. And my first job was this big company. It was called Western. You know, we ship everything, and half of our people are cyclists. And I'd been working there for about 6 months, and still very, very green. Still didn't go anywhere without my San Francisco cross street directory. But what was really, really clear early on was that the drinking culture in the messenger community was pretty intense. I guess you could have guessed that. I should have guessed that. But every night after work, we'd gather in front 75 Columbia Circle and drink and hang out and pretend like consequences didn't exist of any sort. And somebody suggested we go to the Messenger Bar, which was called The Tempest. And I don't even know if it exists anymore, probably not. But so we all hop on our little bicycles and get on the street, take a ride on Folsom. And it was already dark by then. And we were in our little pack. And I was in the back. And none of us were wearing flashing lights or helmets like responsible bicycle owners and operators. No. But it didn't really matter for them because I was the one that she didn't see. And, you know, the whole cliche about when something seriously traumatic happens in your life happens in slow motion, I'm going to confess to all of you, it's so true. I hate that. And all I saw was this hulking mass coming at me from the left. And it didn't even occur to me that it was a car until I heard the front part of the frame of my bike crank, like crumple under it. And I remember hitting the ground really hard in the middle of Folsom. I'd lost the wind. I was knocked out of me, and I heard myself gasping, just barely audibly, just saying, "I can make it. Don't leave without me." And then I was gone. And the next thing I remember, for some reason, I'm back in South Louisiana, and I'm looking down in the middle of Midtown in New Orleans, and I'm walking with my sister. We're just strolling in the middle of the street like you do in the middle of the summer. And it occurred to me, wow, that's me, and that's my sister. And if that's me down there, who's watching us? And right when I'd finished that full thought, this skinny, hairy, mongrelly boy named Dirty Bird was sort of shaking me by my shirt, and I was on my back, and there was a big white light, which was, of course, the ambulance. And he's like, "Hey, you're all right. And I didn't say anything, and they were cutting my pants off, and I froze. It was such a weird thing to wake up to. I mean, you know, having your pants cut off you. But especially since I didn't really think I was maybe not that hurt. That was until I heard the woman screaming about 20 feet away. I never saw her. I don't know what she looks like. I don't know what her name was. but she was shrieking as if she'd murdered someone. The worst thing about it was that there were muffles. You know, there were muffled screams. There was somebody with her trying to keep her calm. She was screaming, you know, what did I do? What did I do? And because I still wasn't moving. I mean, she wasn't sure I was awake. Anyway, they put me in the ambulance. We scoot on over to San Francisco General, which is a sprawling mass of brick hospital, ancient hospital. Go into the emergency room, and the first question is this tall doctor. I guess they were all tall. I was on my back. But he said, how much have you had to drink tonight? Like he was my dad, but like a dispassionate dad, like, but enough that I thought, oh fuck, I'm gonna be the one responsible for this whole fiasco. So I just said, I had a reasonable amount. I know those are the words I said. I'm sure I wasn't that demonstrative. Anyway, so they put me on the side, and I realized that I was being triaged. And I thought to myself, I thought maybe I'm not so damaged tonight. And so it was then that it occurred to me that I didn't have my messenger bag on my back. That thing that I had on me more often than I had off me, that I felt like I slept in, I felt like I lived in it. I mean, I know exactly what I was carrying that night because it was what I was carrying the whole 6 months, and it was what I was carrying the rest of the 2 years that I was a messenger. I had the cross-street directory, of course, because I was always fucking lost. I was not very good. I'm telling everyone that. I was very fast, but I was not very good. I had a bag of shitty tobacco to roll my shitty flaccid cigarettes. I had a couple of tires and tubes and patch kit and lighters and a book. I remember it was The Politics of Women's Biology. I remember because the cover got ripped off. And there are also sunglasses and gloves and two unopened letters from my mom. And so I'm lying there staring at the ceiling. And then she appears. Not my mom. But a nun. A nun. Whenever I tell a story, I just hit this part and I'm like, a nun. A habit thing, the thing, the dress. The whole production. So, you know, I didn't see her approach or anything. I just remember her just being there. And I was like, God, this is so dramatic. God. And she was striking. She was really striking. She looked like Audrey Hepburn would have looked like if Audrey Hepburn had started a two-pack-a-day habit at the age of six. Nonetheless, striking. She gave me a gentle little smile. And I felt cornered. And she asked me what I was doing there that night. I said, oh, I think I got hit by a car. And she said, was anyone hurt? And I said, I don't know. I don't know. And she said, are you hurt? And I said, I don't know. Even though I had this piercing pain in my hip, which is where I ended up landing. So she said, why did you move to California? And I don't remember saying I was from South Louisiana, which made the whole experience that much more ethereal. Like, you know, like, just, where did you move here? And I said, I came here to be an advocate for children and their families, and start to participate in a really important political movement and personal movement and stuff like that. And she said, well, what do you do? What did you want to do with these kids? And I said, well, I wanted to work with them and talk with them and be a grown-up that will not only listen to them, but really relay how scared they are and how legitimate their fears are to their parents and their doctors, who really can't see that in them. And she said, so what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you actually doing with your activism? And I said, well, now I'm just, you know, doing a lot of speaking and writing. And she said, which one do you do more of? And I said, speaking. And she said, why is that? And I said, because the writing is so hard. And she said, I was expecting some sympathetic, you know, shake of the head or a nod or even a kind smile, and I got nothing. She stonewalled me. And I mean, the scene, this should not be a vivid memory, but it really is. But I'm telling you, the Nun production really drove it home. Like, the whole severity of it was really intense. So she said, you don't have anybody here for you in the hospital? And I said, probably not. I gave a moment's thought to Dirty Bird, but I don't think we were that close. And she said, how afraid are you tonight, right now? And I said, I'm all right, you know. I mean, these penetrating questions are not helping, right? I'm really, really fucking tired, and I'm just got hit by a car, and I'm still drunk, and there's a nun lording over me. Audrey. And she said, so they're gonna let you go tonight, you know, go home. And I said, yeah. And she said, I would really like you to do a couple of things for me. Go home and take care of yourself, because there's, you know, plainly no one is here for you. And maybe I'm putting more emphasis on the no one part, because she's, you know, I mean, she didn't strike me as terribly fatalistic. I mean, like, terribly, but she said, go home and sleep and be gentle with yourself and be kind. And then when you wake up tomorrow, ask yourself, why were you in an emergency room last night? And then when you think you've answered that, acknowledge that your work is right there and ask, why aren't you doing your work?
Tell Us Something is proud to be fiscally sponsored by Missoula Community Foundation, a 501c3 organization. Missoula Community Foundation has been providing leadership to Missoula nonprofits and inspiring long-term philanthropy in Missoula since 2007. For the good of Missoula, forever. MissoulaCommunityFoundation.org. Thank you for your support of live storytelling and local art. Thanks to the bookstore at the University of Montana, a local bookstore serving the students, faculty, and staff of the University of Montana, as well as the Missoula community. MontanaBookstore.com. Fact and Fiction, where books, authors, ideas, and readers interact. FactandFictionBooks.com. Top Hat Lounge, bringing great music to Missoula for over 60 years. The Top Hat now serves food and offers, in addition to great music, comedy shows, film, performance art, and storytelling. TopHatLounge.com. Haley Faust. Haley is a graphic and media designer based in the heart of the Rocky Mountains. From concept to final design launch, Haley puts her heart and soul into your design project. HaleyFaust.com. Zoo City Apparel, custom screen printing, zoocityapparel.bigcartel.com. Rock and Rudy's, your source for the best music, gifts, and more. Great music, great people. Rockandrudy's.com. Podcast production by Nathan Zavalny of Missoula Soundworks, MissoulaSoundworks.com. Thank you to everyone who attends the events, those of you who download the podcasts, and to the storytellers, Luke Morgan Algeyer, Marlise Borchers, Michael Lapointe, Jenna Lyons, Kyle McAfee, Melissa Bangs, Jim Ambrose, Francis Scott, Jeremy Smith, Tamara Love, and Josh Wagner. Find us on Facebook and Twitter. The next Tell Us Something is scheduled for February 17th at the Top Hat. The theme is adventure. See you then. Want to tell a story? Call us at 406-203-4683 or email us from the website at tellussomething.org to pitch your story idea.